This hour brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports. Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
This is the very first thing out of all the things we've heard from Ben Johnson, the poetry, the jokes, the interviews, everything else that Ben Johnson has uttered. This is the very first time Ben Johnson has said anything that's disappointed me.
Does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
Does it become a first down or a touchdown?
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself.
Chick stick the long ball.
Get him, Bigsy.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
And the way you kind of dismiss that gives me pause, because what I heard there was a level of confidence that bordered on cockiness.
And the Bears of all teams, the monsters of the Midway, the charter members of the Black and Blue Division, they were not one of the teams who felt the tush push is okay, who did not vote against the ban of the tush push. I don't understand that. So the answer is not to ban it. The answer is to be better, to be more physical, to gain more leverage. That's all it comes down to.
I'm ready to go in, coach. Just give me a chance. I know there's a lot riding on it, but it's all psychological. Just got to stay in a positive frame of mind.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's a Grody Day.
It's Grody time, yeah!
More Mark Grody.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody.
Ah, Grody.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into the Rahimi and Harris show. In for those two, Layla is resting. She is resting as we speak after her Chicago Sky debut last night, and she was awesome. So prepared, so good. Too bad the Sky didn't win. Sky did not win last night. Shout out to Alyssa Bergamini as well. Her pregame, her postgame, the interviews, they all sounded great. They all sounded comfortable. Marshall Harris is off today as well. He is at a wedding in Savannah, Georgia. So he is not with us today. But guess what? You get the Take the North podcast today. Yeah, that's right. I am Mark Grody. And for my money, and I'm on the beat, I'm one of the guys that talks about the Bears. Dan Wiederer, the best Bears talker in this town, is in this studio. One of the founding fathers of the Take the North podcast. He writes superior pieces in the Chicago Tribune as well. Weedsy, what's happening, brother?
Man, what a kind introduction that is. First of all, I got in here today and I was like, wait, you're not Rahimi or Harris. We're going to do this. We're going to do this totally different. Thanks for the kind words.
Of course. Of course. And I mean, I'd like to put together my power rankings. I even felt that way before we started doing the podcast together.
Before I started paying you under the table to say nice things about me on the air.
What do you got going on over there, Weedsy?
I don't know.
We're gonna need you to go ahead and turn that right on off. You just lost the space. I just moved Kevin Fishbane into your spot.
Wait till after he's done later today. We'll move him back down.
Oh man. Dan Wiederer?
That is him. He is Dan Wiederer. We want to thank some people that are helping to put this show together like they do. I'm looking at two of the guys over there right now. It's Ray Diaz. He's our executive producer. What's up, Ray? Bob Tree as well, Robbie Triano. He's the man on the sound. He's bringing us all sorts of good stuff, all sorts of good audio, play those commercials like he does, adding to. So Bob doing what Bob does over there. Thank yous to our Twitch masters. You should log on to twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Score video team. They work hard and they make us look better than we actually look. Like Connor O'Donnell and Jenna Duddleston and Matt Anaya all do absolutely great work. So we have a ton to do on this show. A lot of Bears, a lot of Cubs. We'll talk about the All-Star game being in Chicago coming in 2027. We'll have our five on it at noon, where we just kind of kick it to all sorts of different places. But I think that the Bears would probably be a pretty good place for us to begin the discussion today. Dan and I, if you don't know, we do collectively host the Take the North podcast. He and I are out at Hallis Hall just about every day that there is availability, including this past week when they had the first full team OTA that we were able to watch. They may have had one other full team OTA before that, but we did get to go out there in the Walter Payton Center and begin to observe this Chicago Bears team.
You and I are reminded all the time about the anticipation and the eagerness for people to learn about this team. And we go out on a Wednesday on May 21st to the first week of OTAs, and it's wall-to-wall media in there. Cameras everywhere, reporters everywhere, people trying to get their eyes on the new-look Bears and Ben Johnson for the first time. We're 4 months from playing a meaningful football game, and that attention and that excitement never really recedes in the city. And it was a reminder on Wednesday of, oh man, we've got a lot of ground to cover between now and week one, but boy, is there a lot of attention on this team.
There really is. And just to give people, just to add to what Dan is saying, we in this case, because it was raining, we were in the Walter Payton Center indoors where they have their practice facility. Yeah. And it can be tough to, because there is limited space where we hover above. It's hard to see everything. You cannot see everything, and you kind of got to jockey for space. And you know, I'm courteous to people that are a little bit shorter, so sometimes I'll stand behind people and things like that. But you can't catch every single thing that goes down in there. So we can bring you stuff, but I didn't see everything that happened.
For the first 15 minutes, you're seeding ground to the cameras that need to get their B-roll shots and everything else for the day, and then the cameras leave, and then you try to get a spot on the railing, and then before you know it, there's a corporate group that's pushing you to somewhere else. So it's very hard to carve out space that you can keep in those practice viewing experiences indoors. Hopefully they'll be back outdoors at some point. Yeah. Maybe the weather in Chicago will actually cooperate soon.
That'd be really
nice.
For
all of us.
By the way, Dan, I call the people whether it's a corporate outing or season ticket holders or just, you know, we see these groups that come through Hallis Hall. I just call them the townspeople.
Okay.
The townspeople have arrived.
There they are.
They are here. They supersede our positioning.
Yeah.
So then, but actually the Bears were nice enough to let us go field level at that point, which had, in my time here, that had been unprecedented to go field level in the Walter Payton Center.
It had been unprecedented during your time. I actually made a comment up in the balcony. I said, once upon a time, they trusted us to be on the sidelines and actually watch practice without getting hurt or endangering anybody on the Bears team. So somebody may have heard that whisper and said, hey, what if we let some of these people go downstairs and actually be able to see what they're trying to see?
I mean, heck, we're it's a little bit closer than it is outside, but we're on the sidelines outside. But typically they practice on two fields when we're watching, and a lot of the time they're on a farther field, the field four, I guess it is. So literally we need binoculars to see everything that is going on if we want the details.
Yeah, and then in this particular instance, you've got everybody on one field inside. A lot happening on Wednesday, and we've got a long way to go with this football team as they try to build themselves into something that is relevant on game days and not just relevant during the offseason.
Yeah, and let's start, and we're going to get into, we do have a time slotted out here a little bit later on to actually get into some of the things that Dan and I observed of the Bears in their OTA, that on the field, actual things that occurred that we feel are relevant and of consequence, considering it was one OTA. But I want to talk about Caleb Williams here and, you know, his season last year. How would you characterize the year that Caleb Williams had last year, Dan?
He was subject to a lot of disruption, defined disruption. Look, like I thought that Caleb played well in flashes. I thought some of the game on the line stuff that he did gave you incredible amounts of encouragement for what he can be in responding to pressure situations. The performance was uneven. They lost 10 consecutive games. They went from, you know, Halloween to New Year's Day without winning ever. There were a lot of things going wrong around him, coaching, offensive line, all those other things. But it just leaves you, as you and I have talked about more than once, in a position in 2025 where you're trying to now reach checkpoints that we all thought would have been reached in 2024.
Exactly.
That relates to the entire football team. It relates specifically to Caleb Williams, who's going to have a lot more help this year. He's got a proven play caller. He's got a better offensive line. He's got weapons everywhere. Now it's time to answer some questions, and there's a long list of questions that we have about where Caleb Williams' ceiling is, where his current progress report is at, and where it needs to to go, how quickly.
Right, right. And right now, just like on the field, we're going to get to some pretty hot audio here in a second pertaining to the Seth Wickersham article. But yeah, Caleb Williams last year, 3,541 yards, 20 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. And I was just going through some of this right before the show and just trying to remember the moments that mattered for him last year. The Carolina game was terrific. That's where DJ Moore finally had a good game, and it felt like, okay, there's some of the chemistry. The Jacksonville game was terrific. Right?
I mean, I just remember walking out of that post-game press conference in London and being like, man, he seems really comfortable. Now, look, that was the Jags, and they were falling apart a little bit defensively, and you found some things that you could exploit. But you just felt like, okay, you know, you're walking into your bye week 4-2 with a ton of momentum and a quarterback who looked comfortable at that point.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. And that was Cole Kmet came to life in that game. And so it felt wonderful. I remember coming in here and feeling like, and I think there was a collective thought here at the Score, the Bears have a quarterback. Oh my God, like the last two games, it's really happening. And then right after that, it begins the 10-game losing streak. Yep. That's the Washington game. And you lose 10 in a row. Along the way, there were moments. We were talking a little bit about the home overtime loss to Minnesota, where Caleb had that absolutely elite throw to DJ Moore down the middle of the field. Yeah. I don't remember if that was also the game where he had the rollout pass downfield to DeAndre Swift as well.
Been.
Yeah, and then there was a great pass to Roma Dunze. So there were,
Packers game at home, there were moments late where he gets them in position for a potential game-winning field goal with throws to Rome and to Keenan, and you're like, okay, like this dude, when the game is on the line, he's got the chutzpah to take it over.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the way I characterize it is sort of the snapshot of what training camp was last year. Mostly not good for Caleb Williams, I thought, in training camp. But there were always moments where you saw him do things that were like, wow, haven't seen a Bears quarterback do that. I could say the same thing for the season. There are probably more poor moments for Caleb Williams during the season. And I do grade it on a rookie scale. But then there were moments like the elite throws that he had there. You're like, okay, I can see what everybody's talking about. I can work with this. So, in other words, there's a long way to go still for Caleb Williams himself, despite all of the noise that is going on. And there's a lot of it. There's a lot of, I hate using the word excuse, but there are some built-in legitimate excuses that he has had. I mean, the coaching staff obviously around him. Did you have the right offensive line in front of him? He didn't have the right support. And that does bring us back to the Seth Wickersham article, which we all know about at this point. But the opinions continue to roll in, and Dan and I are going to react to this as well. And we have our own opinions on everything that has gone on, the drama that has gone on with Caleb Williams and his father, Carl Williams, as well. But this morning on the Mully and Haw show, they had on, as they do regularly, Ross Tucker, and they asked him about Caleb Williams and everything that is going on in regards to that article and the drama. Here it is.
I have major concerns about Caleb Williams, like major, major concerns. It feels to me like more often than not, he does the wrong thing. And this isn't a talent thing, and I don't think I've ever met him. But we can have a discussion, and I've seen all the Bears fans. He was right. You know, Waldron and Eberflus were our idiots. He was right. Like, I've seen that. I get that. We can have an argument about whether or not it's an issue that he and his dad were thinking about trying to avoid the Bears. I don't have any, like, problem with that.
Right.
Why would you tell a writer this? Why would you be talking about this with a writer and then not go through with it? I mean, that's my biggest issue. I feel like he either gets really bad advice or his awareness rating on Madden needs to go down like 30 points. Because I also thought it was a really, really poor decision for him to not address it this week. Because it's going to get addressed, right? People are going to ask him about it the first time they're allowed to ask him about it. So why would you want to drag it on? Right? Like, he should have Monday come on and said, yep, you know, my dad was talking to a guy back then. I had some concerns, but when I came out here to Hallis Hall I met everybody. I thought, no, you know what? I want to do this. But, yeah, we had some concerns early on just because of the history. Boom, and it's over. I mean, it's like, it reminds me of Thanksgiving when the Bears were trying to do the right thing, which was run a play and then use the timeout. But Caleb Williams decided, oh, no, I need to audible, and then they ran out of time, and Eberflus knew after the game that he can't throw Caleb Williams under the bus, and so then he just kind of ate it. There's a lot of concerns there. He might end up having a great career, and goodness knows they put him in a position to succeed, right? Like, you couldn't have gotten a better head coach. They went out and got an entirely new interior of the offensive line. Their first two picks are arguably the best receiving tight end in the draft. I just want us to all be on the same page that if it doesn't go well this year or the next 2 years or whatever, it's time we start talking about the quarterback and not blaming everyone else.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's Ross Tucker right there. And like I said just a little while ago, yeah, there are definitely things on which Caleb is culpable, for sure. Beginnings of games, I mean, he's talking about end of game right there, obviously, in the Detroit decision and reported audible as well. But, you know, the beginnings of games were bad, and some of that's on Caleb, Dan.
Right, and the next bridge we've got to cross with Caleb is the ownership piece of this. As a quarterback and QB1 of the Chicago Bears, like, you have to take ownership of all of this going forward, and I know we can unpack this a little more deeply as we go forward.
Yeah, we're gonna react more to what Ross Tucker said right there. We've got to take a break, but we also want to invite you guys into the conversation. 312-644-6767 is the number here on the Rahimi and Harris Show, featuring that guy, Dan Weeder, and me, Mark Grody, the Take the North podcast, if you would like. And we're seeing your text messages as well, reaction to what Ross Tucker said. Again, 312-644-6767. We'll also have more reaction, ex-player reaction, in regards to Caleb Williams and this whole situation, and more on what we think and have seen and have heard out at Halas Hall. More coming up here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I have major concerns about Caleb Williams. Like, major, major concerns. Why would you tell a writer this? Why would you be talking about this with a writer and then not go through with it? I feel like he either gets really bad advice or his awareness rating on Madden needs to go down like 30 points.
That's Ross Tucker on the Mully and Haw Show talking about Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, along with Dan Weeder. I am Mark Grody. We are in for Rahimi and Harris today. The segment being brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And we are taking your phone calls, too, here. 312-644-6767. If you want to talk Bears with the Take the North guys about this topic or others, we figured, you know, as long as we're here, if you've got questions about the Bears, about this very topic or other things, we are here for you at 312-644-6767. Text messages I can't keep up with right now. They're coming in hot and heavy at the moment. And let me make this clear. I am one of the people that, and I think many people still, I'm not unique in this way, I still think Caleb Williams has a chance to be great. I really do. Even before Ben Johnson got here. That obviously helps. But there's just too many skills, some of which maybe at the NFL level are still raw, for me to think that he can't do that. And too many throws that I saw him make last year that make me believe, oh, just smooth some things out. This guy still has a chance to be great. But guess what? I'm also going to grade him on the fact that he is a number one overall pick,
yep,
that he's a generational, you know, put that in air quotes if you'd like, a generational talent. So I will grade him like that. And I will do relative to rookie, of course. There are some excuses that can be had. But I'll, and Dan will too, we're going to call it like we see it. So Dan, you didn't get a chance to react yet fully to what Ross Tucker said about Caleb. We're very critical of Caleb Williams, obviously.
Yeah, I've got a handful of thoughts. You hear Ross there say he has major concerns. That would seem to be a double major in concern from an NFL analyst about the starting quarterback here. Uh-huh. What I think it does for me is it further illuminates the range of possibility here. Like, Caleb could be a 15-year starter that leads the Bears to 9 playoff appearances, and none of us would be surprised. He also might not get a second contract with the Bears, and few of us would be surprised, right? Like, that's the range of playing quarterback in a market like this with the expectation and the pressures that are there. And so it's just a reminder at how difficult that job is, how steep this climb is. It reminds me also of Ryan Poles going to a microphone on the day that Ben Johnson was introduced as the new head coach, being asked about what Ben's arrival would do for Caleb and saying, Caleb will be challenged to be a professional football player, to do the little things the right way. That's the leader of your front office talking about your starting quarterback being challenged to be a professional football player. And so there's obvious thoughts inside the building that there is a maturation process that has to continue for Caleb Williams. There are demands that he has to meet. There are checkpoints he has to reach. And 2025 is going to be a huge season given what they've put around him, from the play caller to the interior of the offensive line to the playmakers, as we've mentioned. 2023 on the Take the North podcast before your arrival was the No Excuses Tour for Justin Fields. I don't think we're at the No Excuses Tour yet for Caleb, but we're at the Fewer Excuses Tour. And 2025 better be a year where Caleb starts to show evidence that his trajectory is going in the right direction, and by extension, the Bears' trajectory is going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you do need to see discernible difference from Caleb Williams in all of the areas that we know were problems for him. Yes, he got to get rid of the ball more quickly. Like I said, the beginnings of games, like, there, maybe other people were to blame, but guess what? That's the quarterback who the one common denominator was Caleb Williams in the beginnings of games this year.
Do you remember in December when we were hearing from some of the coaches that were still left in the building, whether it be Chris Beatty or Thomas Brown or Kerry Joseph, and they were talking about how Caleb needed to learn how to learn, right? Like, and there was this extension of a conversation of, look, as a young player in this league, and specifically at that position, you have to put together routines and habits that help you be successful. And so that process was clearly ongoing down the stretch of his rookie season, clearly did not get the guidance and oversight from Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron that the Bears were banking on. And so now, as Caleb turns the page and starts to work with a new coach and a new group of assistants around Ben Johnson, he's got to figure out how he invests in this process of improvement.
Yeah,
right.
Like, absolutely.
That's a huge step in this. It's a huge piece of this puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And it's not and we've talked about this on Take the North many times. It's not an indictment of his character or anything like that. It's just the overall, like, he's got to learn how to be a quarterback. That's what you said. I'm also thinking, too, I do believe, Dan, that the conversation with Kerry Joseph, I believe you and I were in that conversation together in the atrium, just one of the many moments where you and I became a team,
yeah.
Some of which we will play later on today. Well, because you and I have both had some really fun moments.
Yeah,
at different ends of the locker room.
The gelling process of becoming a team.
We
sure.
became a team, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get to some calls here, because they are lining up right now. 312-644-6767. We got a couple lines open, too, if you guys want to jump in. But let us start with Paulie. Paulie, you are on the Raheemi and Harris Show with Mark Grody and Dan Weider. What's cooking?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Paulie.
Two knowledgeable guys talking football. I love it. So I almost drove off the road when I heard Ross Tucker.
Oh, boy.
Okay? I could not agree more. And I've been telling my friends this for the last couple of weeks. Caleb Williams is not Johnson's type of quarterback. He's going to make do with him for 3 years. He hopes he does his best. They are definitely not getting that guy $50 million in his fifth year and $70 million in his sixth. You wouldn't be able to build up the rest of the team, and he won't be that good. He's too short. He can't play from under center. He's inaccurate downfield. He can't read defenses. 52 of his 68 sacks, he held the ball for longer than 4 seconds, okay? So here's the game plan. And Johnson's a math guy, and his brother's a math guy on steroids, right? An MIT grad, gazillionaire, quantum computer dude. So they both have access to these computers, and it's all probability nowadays in math. Get the ball in your playmaker's hands as quickly as possible in a one-on-one situation. That's the way to win. The offense always has the last move, so the defense has to react to what the offense does. It's a total advantage. The Bears aren't going to get over 8.5. They're going to be fun to watch. They're going to score a ton of points. They still need to build up their defense, and this is going to be a year of adjustment. But as far as Caleb Williams, they're going to get the ball out of his hands. They're not going to depend on him to make decisions. He is not Johnson's type of QB.
Paulie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Well thought out. Get back on the road there, buddy. We don't want you driving off the road. Shout out to everybody on the roads right now. It's the holiday weekend, so I'm guessing there's probably a ton of traffic out there. So, hey, everybody, be careful out there. The inaccuracies were real last year at times, Dan, and it was a surprise, I think, to everybody, including Caleb Williams. I mean, because Caleb Williams said, yeah, that's never been part of my repertoire.
Right.
Even when we talked to him about it, his touchdown to interception ratio, he's like, I don't know why you guys are talking about interceptions. Interceptions has never been part of my story either. So I think that Caleb was just as confounded, man, about the inaccuracies that he had last year. So that seems like something to me that can be fixed, that you look at and say, there is reason to believe Caleb Williams can become more accurate at the NFL level.
Well, right. And I think the one thing I'd push back on from Paulie's call there is the fact that Caleb is not Ben Johnson's type of quarterback. Well, he better be, because Ben Johnson bet part of his career on Caleb Williams being a guy that he could bring the best out of. And so when you talk about becoming a better under center quarterback, that's got to happen here in May and June and late July and into August. And Caleb's got to master that part of things under Ben. They've got to figure out what this offense looks like. I think when you go back and you study the evolution of the Lions in the 3 years that Ben was the play caller, the marriage to the run game is incredible to watch, right? Like, everything started with how dedicated they were to the running game, how they turned loose that offensive line to do what it did best, and then all of a sudden you create play action. Jared Goff last year threw for 4,600 yards, 37 touchdowns, and passer rating of 111.8. Like, there'd be three statues of him out in front of Soldier Field if he put those numbers up as a Chicago Bear. Caleb Williams has got to lean into the teachings of a offensive mastermind and a play caller who has shown in this league that he can be highly productive with the pieces that he's given to work with. And so Ben's now got to take this new set of pieces and put together that puzzle. Caleb's got to be an active part of that process of being vocal. What do I like? What am I uncomfortable with? Of the things I'm uncomfortable with, what can we, you know, increase the comfort in, and what do we just throw out? And that's why I think this next stretch here is so critical, right? Like, this May, June, July, August stretch is so critical, because you know as well as I do, there's not going to be forgiveness if it takes past the bye week for Caleb Williams to look good, right? Like, people are going to be on edge in this city, and the Bears are going to have to adjust to that. Would you agree?
Like, yeah, that, no, Dan, pressure is the word. There is a lot of pressure. And
those
now,
two opening games, right? Like,
Minnesota, and yeah, and that week, what are we going to be talking about? Caleb Williams wanted to play for Kevin O'Connell in the Minnesota Vikings, as per the article. So, and then even, like, it's fun stuff, but even Ben Johnson, like, there's so much pressure on Ben Johnson, too. He doesn't wear it, and he hasn't really elicited.
He hasn't been here long enough.
Yeah, but he set up the pressure against Matt LaFleur. That's already out there. The Minnesota thing, and you wanted to play for Kevin O'Connell, you know, which maybe is a question we should have asked the coach the other day. But there is so much built-in pressure, like outside stuff, let alone, as you said, home against Minnesota at Detroit to begin the season. And really quick, before we get back to your calls, I see you guys. We're going to get you 312-644-6767. Will you share the nugget, if you have it off the top of your head, about the tush push, and Ben Johnson didn't really use it Detroit.
No,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I talked to Dave Burkett, who covers the Lions very closely.
That's right.
And has
yeah.
for years. And he said if they used it, they used it one time, mm-hmm. you know, in 3 years with Ben as a play caller. So
yeah.
He likes to find things in the playbook that work for him, and that's fine. You know, just make sure it works. I shared with you and Ray and Robbie before the show that the Lions scored 68 touchdowns on offense last season. The Bears, over the last two seasons combined, 68 offensive touchdowns.
I love when you share, but I didn't like hearing that. We all were like, oh my God.
Like, staggering, right? Like,
oh,
staggering.
Yeah, that's staggering. That's a good word. Sam on the West Side. What's up, Sam? You're on the Score.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're great. I mean, really, just great.
Well, I'm going to be the anti-Paulie, and I'll tell you, I didn't like the piece by Tucker at all.
Okay.
Give you just a second. I played quarterback at a pretty fair level.
Nah, I don't know about that. Did you, Sam?
I did. My college career got killed before it started on injury, but
sorry, bud.
I was good enough to head out to Alabama for a second.
Wow.
So,
whoa.
Anyways, I'm just going to say this. As far as the comments that Caleb Williams made, 20, 21-year-old kids, who cares what comes out of their mouth? It's nonsense. Anyway, anything out of his father's mouth, that's another thing. I just don't like it. It seems like this city, they can't accept success. They always got to be beating down on stars and trying to break them down. I think this kid, if I was drafting today, I still would have took him number one. He's better than the kid from Washington. He's
Jayden
going
Daniels.
To prove
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yep. The one not. Thing I noticed about him right off the bat was I thought the game was too fast for him. And toward the end of the year, I saw him making some improvements. But where quarterbacks earn their money, especially in the NFL, is on the last drive of the game when you're going for that final score and on third downs. And this kid passed the eye test on both of them.
Yeah. All right, Sam, appreciate the call. And sorry about your derailed Alabama quarterback career. I don't know, man. Maybe he was. I'm not really sure.
The one thing he said there that made me recoil is he said, this city can't accept success. And my response is, what success? Like, I'm going on season 13 on the beat. The Bears have never won a playoff game. They still don't have a 4,000-yard passer. They've never had anyone throw for 30 touchdowns. This city would gladly accept success. In fact, a lot of times they proclaim success before success has occurred. See Justin Fields' three-year career.
Well, we're doing a lot of that in this offseason, too. I haven't heard a lot of people pick losing records for the Bears this year. I got them at 9-8. Did you find 9 wins, Dan?
We found the 9th. Yeah. You and I both talked about how we actually had to kind of find the 9th win. I think this is an 8-9 win team.
Yeah.
Schedule's got teeth to it, right? And then when you look at that schedule laid out, you're like, oh, God. Like, you've got to actively search for that 9th win. Man, this city can't accept success. They're just desperate to see actual success instead of sort of the fool's gold success that we're so often tricked by.
Right, and I do give tons of credit to Bears fans because Bears fans have been through a ton, but they just don't fall off. They don't go away. They are I mean, maybe there's a period of time at the end of the season where they get out of here and they go to some sunny place, but then they refresh. They hit there is a Bears refresh button that is – they lost 10 games in a row last year, Dan, and most of the texts that we're getting right now, they want Rex Tucker taken out. Ross Tucker, they want him taken out, basically, is the conclusion.
We all remember the infamous 2021 Zoom call with the Bears brass after the season ended. I think it was 21. Yeah, right. Like, I mean, you remember those moments where you're just struck by it. And there was a reaction from fans like, I'm done with this team. I'm never watching this team again. We're never coming back. And then they drafted Justin Fields, and it was like, this is the greatest day in Chicago sports history. I can't wait to buy my jersey.
And Soldier Field is sold out every single game, no matter what. God bless
you,
Bears.
They can't stay away.
No, you can't, and you shouldn't. And that's why we talk about it. We love it, too. And as I always say, at the heart of it, I am one of you. I grew up one of you. I am an objective reporter now, but I always say when I retire, I'll probably go back to being a Bears fan in some way, shape, or form. We're going to come. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take more of your calls because I see more of you guys want to talk about the Bears. So feel free to jump in at 312-644-6767. Also, Dan and I eventually, hopefully in this next segment, would like to share with you some of our actual observations that we saw from the OT on Wednesday, things that are a consequence to actually playing football. So we'll get to some more of that coming up as well. Dan Weider, Mark Grody, in for Rahimi and Harris here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mark Grody, Dan Weider in for Rahimi and Harris today. You could call us Mark and Dan. You could call us Grody and Weider, or you could just call us the Take the North podcast, because that is a podcast that Dan and I perform a few days a week. We got an episode up and running right now if you want to check that out. And Dan and I both cover the Bears on just about a daily basis. And the way the NFL works these days, sometimes I mean that literally.
Oh, yeah.
Something going on just about every day with the Chicago Bears.
I tried to take a little four-day weekend in mid-May, and the Caleb Williams rumpus occurred last Thursday. You know, here we are.
You were hilarious during that because you're like, I got stuff to say while you're sitting out at a bar in Wrigleyville with your friends.
It's going to have to wait till Monday.
Exactly. So I think the two podcasts ago, if you want to hear Dan's initial reaction to all of this, you should see that. That is a Dan Wiederer episode. He is one of the founding fathers of the Take the North podcast, along with our guy, David Hall. Let us get back to the phone lines here because we're running out of time in this hour, and Emma has been waiting on the North Shore. Emma, hello. You're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Emma.
I am just at a point where I feel like discussing the Caleb thing with his dad is a distraction, and I feel like we need to leave him alone, and he needs to focus on Ben, his new coaches, actually having a coach, actually having a quarterback's coach, actually having an interior line. And I feel like, to piggyback on some of the other callers, like, Chicago wants success. I really believe that, but we can't be the distraction. I'm just wondering why we can't leave him alone right now and let him focus on the game. I think there's a reason why he did not address it last week. I think that he is trying to maybe move it, you know, put it behind him. But I want this city to give him the room to, like, work on his game this summer and not really fall privy to the root system of distraction, because it really tends to, you know, take the eye off the ball, per se.
We hear you, Emma. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Dan, what'd you think about that?
Yeah, well, look, like, that's up to Caleb to wall himself off from distraction. I will say that the quickest way to gain closure on a situation like this, noise, disturbance, commotion, whatever you want to term it, is to just address it, hit it head on, close the book, and then move forward. By delaying this, Caleb Williams is going to speak to the media again at some point in his life. At that point, he is going to have to address this story, and then we will react to it, and then hopefully at that point it will be in the rearview mirror. As you and I talked about earlier this week, Grody, I do think that this does come back to the process of building trust and buy-in mutually between Ben and Caleb, right? Like, that's the next step in this. For this to go where this is supposed to go for the Bears, there has to be full buy-in, full trust both ways. Finding that path is something that the Bears have to work on, and understanding that Caleb came in here with understandable concerns about what he was going to be able to do in his rookie season is notable. Mm-hmm. His ability to address what those concerns were, how he put them behind him, and where he's at present day. Like, I need to hear what his present day mindset is with this coaching staff, because correct me if I'm wrong, the last time we heard from him was at Ben's introductory press conference. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, yeah. Like, we've got a lot of ground to cover about where he's come since then. I can't remember if we've talked to him once since then or not.
Maybe there was one other. But, yeah, obviously this stuff had not come up.
Maybe, you know, he talked at the new coach minicamp, right, in April.
I think, like, honestly, I said this on the podcast, but it sounds ridiculous to say. This stuff is good for Ben Johnson. All the Seth Wickersham article, because it's intel. It's all intelligence for him to be like, oh, you didn't learn that? Oh, you didn't like this? Like, well, I can see getting on, hey, Seth, can I get an early copy of that book? What else you got there? Yeah. Because this is all stuff that he can be the hero that comes in and says, oh, really? They did what else? Let me tell you how this really is done.
I'll take the deleted scenes too, right? Like, it doesn't all even have to be in the book. Just give me everything you got. Yeah. But I do think that's part, like that's the biggest job Ben Johnson has among 150 jobs that he's got to perform as the new coach of the Chicago Bears. It's figuring out how to get this quarterback in the right headspace and in the right lane to go be who he was supposed to be when he was drafted number one overall. This year is huge to that end. And so. Yeah.
And trust me, Emma, like, we are the same in that regard. Like, we don't necessarily want to be talking about this, but it is exactly relevant. I mean, like, this is a number one overall pick. This is, in theory, the best quarterback prospect that you've ever had. And it's the damn Chicago Bears quarterback. So every little piece of this is relevant right now. And the fact that his, the part that Dan, that makes it most relevant is that his growth in year one was stunted. So what does that mean today?
Right.
Does this
right.
year have to be a developmental year? Does this year, does it mean that this year, it's not till next year that
right.
we actually get to see the real Caleb Williams? That's relevant stuff.
You've heard me say it a dozen times that basically 2025 is a repeat of what 2024 was supposed to be in
yes.
terms of where you're trying to get the quarterback launched to, where you're trying to get to as a team to be relevant for a run of sustainable success. The one place where I would agree with Ross Tucker on is if you're going to go talk to a writer who's going to publish this stuff in a book and by extension excerpts that become a national conversation for a week and a half, maybe wait until after you've accomplished anything. Like if Caleb took the Bears to the Super Bowl and it was like, let me tell you the story of how this journey got started, then you'd be like, oh, that's a cool nugget.
Yeah.
Timing
yeah,
I mean, right now, it's like, oh.
Again, like you start the season 0-2, it's gonna be ugly.
Loud.
We got to take a break. We're going to actually take a quick Bears break, but we'll bring more. We're going to bring in Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane at 11:25 from The Athletic. But coming up next, there are things to talk about Cincinnati-wise. What Cincinnati? Well, the Cubs are playing the Reds, and the Cincinnati Bengals have a man named Trey Hendrickson who is not happy, who has had back-to-back 17.5 season or sacks in a season. So we're going to go out to Cincinnati and talk to Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati to figure everything out about the Cubs and the Bears maybe getting Trey Hendrickson. That's coming up next here on the Raheem and Harris Show on The Score.